Welcome to Love Wins with Ellis and Benita, a conversation of love, life, and relationships. Hello, and welcome to Love Wins with Ellis and Benita. This is Benita.
And this is Ellis. Good afternoon.
How's everybody doing out there? You know, it's been a rough week and a half or so for us around the country. So hopefully everybody is still staying safe. You know, we're still in COVID in the midst of this. Stay sane, you know, reach out, talk to people. This is a lot going on.
Are we still in COVID? Is COVID still going on?
Well, we're going to know in like 3 weeks.
You know, with all the protests taking place, I haven't heard anything from COVID.
We're going to know.
You know. She's still around, or she a hurricane brewing in Atlantic, you know. She coming back.
No, in about 3 weeks, you know, where we are with that. So, you know, we're here to talk about love, life, and relationships. And so today, our topic is ride or die. How deep is your love?
How deep is your love? Right? Was that a song back in that?
It was. How deep is your love?
Yeah.
Who sang that?
I don't know.
Come on now.
How deep? I know.
We gotta make that up. I know, yeah. I don't know all the words, and I can't sing. But if I could,
well,
I would.
I can sing. This may not sound good to some.
Let's see. Who sang that?
But, you know, in all seriousness.
The Bee Gees.
Yes.
Okay.
How deep is your... Yeah, anyway. And in light of everything that's taking place with the rage and frustration and confusion and bewilderment taking place, I just think it's ironic and really a blessing that we're able to talk about love and how it transforms and transpires in times like this. And so as I was thinking about the topic, there's a song by Gary Clark Jr. titled Down to Ride.
Okay.
And so he talks about having someone who's willing to ride with him in the passenger seat.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that because I'm driving.
Okay.
I just wouldn't be able to drive.
All right.
You can be in the passenger seat. You can give me directions. You can even be in the back seat. I just want somebody to ride with me. If that
mm-hmm.
makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And not only just ride with me, but be able to point out things in the scenery as I'm driving. You know, hey, look at this, look at that.
So you must drive. Is that control?
Yes, it is.
I love that you admit it. Your town. I love that you admit it. Straight control. Okay. Because, you know, I don't want to drive, but I have I'm a vocal passenger.
Oh, yeah, goodness.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm a vocal passenger.
You're supposed to be, right?
I think so.
I mean, that's why you're in the passenger seat, not the back seat. In the back seat, you don't really have a voice. You know,
you're just looking out the window.
What you say? Hold on, turn the music down. What? You know, but the passenger has an active voice. You're a participant. You're a partner. That's a co-pilot.
So, all right. So we established the ride, right?
Correct.
What's the die part?
Ooh, I think die is loyalty.
Mm.
How are you loyal to the end? So when we go to the deep end, you talk about how deep is your love. So we're in the deep end of the pool. Are you going to get out? Can you swim? Because you can't die if you can't swim. You can't go deep if you can't swim. And so I believe that the die part is you have to know your limitations, how far you're willing to go. So if you're a ride or die, you're going to go as far as the journey takes. You're willing to go to the end, whatever that may be.
Because I'm feeling like
clean
if there's...
Swim.
Perfect example.
Yeah, queen of snow.
Because I'm thinking, if you say that there's limits, there's a limit, are you willing to die? Because there's, you know, I don't know if there's, you can have a limit if you're willing to go to infinite measures with this individual.
Well,
the situation or whatever.
I think death is the limit.
that's pretty finite.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But death is not dying. It's saying that I'm willing to die with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you know, you have physical deaths, you have spiritual
deaths.
You
have different deaths. Yeah. So, I mean, you have the death of the relationship. You know, we carried this all the way out until there's no life left.
Yeah, I ain't trying to die with you. So you're not about to die.
In this,
you're not about to die. You know, because we use that phrase loosely. Well, I'm a ride or die. Says who? You know, where's your proof? Where's your evidence that you are a ride or die? Because I mean, I admit, I'm not sure I'm a ride or die until I find someone who's going to ride with me.
I think, and so this one started our fight.
Uh-oh, here we go. Let's get it.
Because I think the most, the ride or dies are the women. I think men are more, well, you knew it. I think men are more, y'all have more conditions.
Because men have been placed in the passenger seat, so they can jump out.
You can jump out. I'm driving 85. Jump, baby.
You know, a man would jump out quickly.
But why is that?
This is going to start an argument.
Let's...
Because I don't think that women have properly taught their sons how to be faithful, how to be loyal, how to be committed. And as I had a conversation with my older daughter, I said, you have to have expectations. I said, you can't expect somebody to be a ride or die if they've never even seen a car before, if they don't even know how to drive a vehicle. So we have false expectations. And I think women who are the primary teacher, the most smartest creatures, Black women, y'all know everything, you're geniuses. At some point, women have to take control over this process. And what I mean by that is letting the person know what you expect from jump. Mm-hmm. So if I'm gonna kick you out at 80 miles per hour, just know I told you that, you know, back in mile one. Mm-hmm. And I think, hey, I'm gonna get in trouble with this, but I think that this process, for the most part, women have allowed men to drive recklessly, be unreliable, or more important, not be committed to the process. I'm not saying the man doesn't have responsibility, but I think woman has the power.
Oh, definitely. Women do have the power. And I don't disagree with you, so we're not going to fight on that point. However, you know, I think it's a lot. And, you know, so you're right. Mothers have, you know, we're the first teachers.
Right.
And, but how do we teach loyalty? You know, I think sometimes a lot of us as mothers, you know, we teach our sons, especially, you know, to be loyal and devoted to us. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes when they get out here and they meet a mate, you know, boy, your mama come first when that's wrong,
right?
You know, right. But that's how we teach. And, you know, that's selfish, you know, because we want him to have this family and be the loving man that we supposedly raised him to be to this lady. But I think we do teach loyalty, but to us.
But I think that's because that goes back to slavery, when the mom knew that something was going to happen to the child. So you kind of coddled and held on. And you clung to the son because you knew what was going to take place. And not to make an excuse for that, but you knew as an African-American man or Black man, the dangers of society. And there's always this belief, well, you know, the girl can take care of herself. And I kind of disagree with that. I think the woman needs, and the male needs just an equal amount of protection. So I don't blame the woman or fault the woman for that. But as a son, as a father, I know how difficult it is to get my son's ear. It's like, I got to walk on water. I've got to, you know, do all kinds of stuff just to get their ear because their ear is bending towards their mother. And so it takes time for me to, you know, to say, hey, you know, I'm just as important. I'm a father and I've been here. But what can I do? I just got to be consistent and persistent in the process.
So, you know, I've gotten a lot of flack in my own house from my daughter, the way that I raised her. You know, I raised her to be me, and I coddle those boys, you know, according to her. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and I will admit, you know, they are a bit spoiled, but so is she.
A bit, a little bit.
They're a bit spoiled. But why did I do? And but that makes perfect sense when you say it goes back to the root, you know, the slavery, where we feel like we got to protect these boys. Because, you know, the first thing I thought about, like, with this stuff that's going on now, and we've seen this before, unfortunately, too many times. Mm-hmm. When my youngest first got his driver's license, you know, I was okay when the middle child didn't want to drive. I was like, good, I ain't got to worry about getting pulled over by the cops and nothing crazy happening because right. he don't want to drive.
Right.
But the baby, when he got his, you know, it takes everything. Even still today, mm-hmm. he's been driving for 3 years, I guess. But even when he goes out now, I'm like, God, just let my baby come back. You know, and I don't say that with Navy because I was like, Navy is a survivor. She's going to make it. She's going to be right back. You know, I don't know. And and a part of that goes back to when I first told my dad I was having a baby, you know, when I was having Navy. He said, I hope you have a girl. And I said, why? And he told me, it sounds bad, but here we are. He said, because you're going to end up by yourself. And I'm like, no, I'm not. You know, I'm going to get married and live happily ever after. But I think I went straight into let me prepare because we might be by ourselves, you know. And I don't know. And I don't know if, I mean, I can't ask him why he told me that now.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. You know, it's amazing how our sense of loyalty began, I would say, in utero. You know, I know that I'm a byproduct of a single family home. And I know that my strong independence, or as I've been told, my lack of loyalty may be attributed to, you know, what my mom thought or felt while she was pregnant. As pertains to my father, his in and out, his him not being reliable. Okay. And so I think that you can't discount that, but there's always hurdles we have to go through to get to a place of loyalty and accepting who's going to be loyal and who's not going to be loyal. Who, it's like when we have friends who they think we're more, they think they're close to us and we know that they are or them to be. And so I think when we talk about ride or die and loyalty and friendship and where it comes from, we have to get to the root of the matter. And for me, as I look at this ride or die image of person, this morning I said, no, it can't be my mom. It can't be my grandmother. You know, it has to be somebody who is going to love me unconditionally. As you said in the podcast, you know, last week, you know, you said, you know, that you're a lot. And I was like, I'm a lot too. So I need someone who can handle that. And understand that it's going to be up, it's going to be down, it could be like a roller coaster. We're going to be screaming with our hands in the air. But at the end of the day, you got to be willing to go to the end. But that takes a special kind of individual.
Yeah. And when we started talking, when we talked earlier this week and we talked about what we wanted the topic to be, I was thinking about that too. Like, do I have a ride or die? And who is that person?
And why do we need a ride or die?
You know, I think we want somebody who can take this crazy trip with us and, you know when we get there, you know, we get to some hurdles, you know, that we may need some assistance with. We want that partner. It's kind of like the Amazing Race.
Yes, yes.
You know, we want that. We need somebody. You know, it's like if we got to swim over here, I might need you to help me make this boat, you know, or you got to carry some of this. You got to carry the backpack now for the next 10 miles because my back hurt. But we still got to go. And I think that's what that ride or die is.
Yeah. As you were talking, I was thinking about this African proverb. I think I'm quoting the writer. It says, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go with others.
Yeah.
And I think we are built to be in relationship. And I know because I'm an only child, you have a similar experience. I have a desire to be in relationship or partnership, and that's my ultimate desire. But if I don't get that, I'm okay because I was a single parent. You know, I grew up in a single parent home, only child, so I'm okay with that. But ultimately, I want that team, that partner, so we can win this race, this amazing race.
Yeah, and I'm finally at a place, you know, I may have shared with you that, you know, all my life I've been like, I gotta find, you know, my dude, or, you know, the person that I'm gonna be with for the rest of my life. But, you know, the sad, funny reality is he probably won't be like a mate. It'll be like you. It'll be like Purcell. You know, these are my friends, you know.
Remember now,
and I'm about to crack because these are my ride or die. Yeah, I'm just kidding. But, you know, no, but it's good though.
Life and death is the power of the tongue. I had someone tell me in a holiday in college. I'll never forget this. She told me that she said, Ellis, you will never be satisfied. You will never be satisfied. I can't date you. So her mother was a psychiatrist. And so she's a psychologist. Okay. And when she told me that, I didn't even understand what she was saying. But I'm reminded of that as we were, you know, talking. She looked at me, she's like, I can never date you, Ellis. She said, because you're never satisfied. You always want more. And I said, and?
Is that a bad thing?
Like, what's wrong with that?
Is that a bad thing?
I don't think so. But obviously, she thought that was.
I feel like, I mean, as we grow, don't we want more? Or maybe more is the wrong word. Maybe we want different.
I don't think there's anything wrong with more or different. I think everyone is entitled to what they desire, want, or need to be happy. There's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, we only have one life. So why should we settle for less when we're destined to purpose to have more? If we want more love, you know, more people in our life, less people, what's wrong with that? But I think in that dynamic, the ride or die individual has to understand their place and their role, and if they're willing to make those kind of sacrifices. Because a ride or die is about sacrifice. And it has to be mutual sacrifice. It's not just, you know, because I'm driving that you have to make the sacrifice that I'm going to give you. No, it's a mutual sacrifice. But you have to be willing to make a sacrifice. You can be a ride or die. I mean, love is like an ocean. So how can you want to, you know, this whole notion of falling in love, how can you fall into what you've never experienced? If you've never experienced love, you don't know what love is. Can you really fall in love? And so can you really be a ride or die if you don't have no concept of what kind of love you want, what kind of love you need?
But I think you can fall in love. I mean, you've never been in quicksand, but if you're walking through the daggone desert, you might step in some quicksand.
But I've been in quicksand relationships.
But I mean, even though you may not know, I think, you know, when it happens, you feel it. You know, you're going to know. It's going to be warm. It's going to be embracing.
So let me ask you a question.
Yes. Yes, I'm the love doctor.
To use the analogy of quicksand. Quicksand is something once you get into, it's almost impossible to get out of. But do you want that kind of love? Is that because quicksand suffocates you, kills you? I don't think love does that. I think love gives you life. I think love inspires you. Love takes you on a whole different ride. I just think the perspective of love has to be one that once you encounter it, you never, ever want anything else but that.
I think using the quicksand analogy, going back, that's when you need that person.
To pull you out?
To pull you out. Yeah.
So they're not ride or die. They're not a ride or die. We should both be in the quicksand and die together.
No, I'm going to save you from the quicksand. Hey.
This is Queen and Slim.
You want to be there? No, you want to be? Hi, boo. Please, it was nice knowing you.
We can't have a Queen and Slim kind of relationship. No. I ain't trying to be shy, that's for sure.
Yes,
now
I want to do this.
So a ride or die is someone who is going to hold you accountable, correct you, give you direction. Ooh, what else? That's a woman right there.
It's a woman.
My rib.
It's a woman.
That's the rib.
You know, I was...
That's the rib. Only my bone, flesh, and my flesh.
Yeah, and it got you. Even when, you know, we're at this place where, you know, there's this crossroad, and it could be, you know, this is the right thing, this is the wrong thing. You know, what do your ride or die do? You know?
Well, it all depends, you know, their perception of right and wrong. What is that crossroads?
You know, Queen of Slim.
But they did not have.
They their relationship was because of
her.
This circumstance, you know,
that she created.
Yeah, they were out here what on a social date, an online dating thing.
It's hilarious.
And your date ends up you killed a cop.
You know, it's funny because as I think about that scenario, you know, so often you find yourself in those kind of relationship scenarios. That you, what do you do? Are you going to continue to go forward? Are you going to bail? Are you going to fight? And sometimes, like you said, ride or die is like, this is the end of our journey. You know, I gotta leave. I'm dying to this relationship, to this moment.
Yeah.
And it's okay to go find your another.
It's okay. I think we grow things sometimes.
Oh, God, yeah.
I was talking with my spiritual coach yesterday about a situation. And she said, Benita, you outgrew it. You know, it's time to go.
Isn't that a beautiful feeling? That's liberating.
Yeah, it's time to go.
It's liberating. And that is liberating.
Mm-hmm.
When you know that it's time to move on.
It's time to move on. It's no hard feelings. You've done everything you're supposed to do. Because at this point, like once you've sown into something for a long time, and you know, it's growing or it's grown, you know, it's done. At this point, you're sowing into the concrete, you know, once you've all grown it.
Can't nothing grow on concrete but weeds.
Yeah.
So are you a ride or die, Ms. Benita?
I am. I think so.
She said definitively.
We're going to take a break because I found some useless trivia that you're going to laugh at when we get back. So we're going to take a quick break and come back and make you laugh for a second. Be right back.
Three Guys Talking Smack and Listen to Music is an eclectic blend of genres for your listening pleasure. Find our podcast on the Black Talk Radio Network or listen to our stream on Live 365. From praise to timeless tunes to an all-out dance party, our DJs spin the tunes to make you feel good. Reminisce with us on Thursdays as we take you back to our greatest moments. Three Guys Talking Smack and Listen to Music, the intersection of music and culture.
And we're back with Love Wins with Alice and Benita. So I was Googling the other day, and so it must be true if it's on Google, about zodiac signs. And so they said, the site I was looking at, the most loyal zodiac sign is Scorpio. So we're not Scorpio.
The lies.
I know some pretty good Scorpio people, and I can see them being like real loyal and stuff. However, let's talk about the least loyal. Okay, so all of these sites are wrong. The least loyal sign on several sites was Aquarius. So,
what to say about that, Miss Aquarius?
So this is what happened.
This is what happened was
with Aquarius. I think, you know, we're the water bears, so we're kind of fluid and, you know, over here and over there. I just think we get bored quickly. And we don't mean to not be loyal because we are. We just forgot to tell you that this was over. And then we just kind of move over here. That's been, you know, my experience sometimes. Now, I think second is Pisces. So what say you, Mr. Pisces? What's wrong with you? What's your problem? Why you can't stay? You got two little fishes swimming in opposite directions.
That's the reason right there. Oh, wow. I just think oftentimes, as you indicated about, you know, Aquarius getting bored, is that, you know, Pisces, I'm a person of depth. And I like people who have depth. They have substance. And if you don't have depth or substance, typically, I'm going to keep on swimming. I mean, I'm in the ocean, so there's no commitment in the ocean. It's just water.
It's just open.
It's just open, man. Mm-hmm. And I can go from a pool to a lake to a pond to a river to an ocean to a stream. There's a lot of options out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean it that way. I'm just saying that my versatility and my
ability. This is why those other Pisces aren't loyal. That's what you're talking about. That other Pisces, right?
Listen, I am loyal to me. I'm loyal to God, my family, and my friends. But if you're not loyal to me, and if I even have a hint of you're not loyal, I will bounce quickly.
What?
I'm out.
That's how you are right or that. And because those are those conditions.
No, it's like, and this is the problem. You can't say that you are loyal, but you're going to practice disloyalty. And you can't put my loyalty on a hierarchical scale based off of your loyalty. For example, if we are agreeing to, my pet peeve, we're agreeing to be honest. And so I asked you a question, you know, what's going on? And he's like, nothing. But your nonverbal says something's going on. I'm like, well, you're being dishonest. I'm not being dishonest. I just don't want to tell you what's going on. But we have a pact that we're going to be honest. We're going to be loyal. So if I got to jump through hoops, to me, that's a sign of disloyalty.
So I'm not being honest with you if I don't tell you. But I didn't tell you a lie. I told you nothing.
But there's something going on.
Okay. Because my ex-husband was like that. He would get upset, like, if I didn't say nothing. He felt like omission was a lie. But if I did you ask me that? I mean, if I feel like if you ask me what's in my purse,
that's gangster.
I'm going to tell you. But if you don't ask me what's in my purse, and then I pull off a sod off, you ain't asked.
I like that.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, so that's like how that. I think.
So.
Ask me what you want to know.
If someone says, so who are you sleeping with?
Yes, I'm going to give you the whole daggone rundown.
Yeah, like, first of all, I'm not sleeping with anybody. But you know, in your mind, like, I know what you meant. Oh, hold on, no. You asked who am I sleeping with. You asked who am I having sex with.
Yeah.
So does that apply?
I'll play that. That's a game I would play.
That's a game I do play.
I'm gonna be specific.
You got to ask
what
me.
What you mean?
You ask not because you have not. You have not because you ask not.
Yeah, so I do.
Oh, God.
I know that's a terrible way, but.
I don't think that's terrible. I think that's brutally honest. It's like, if you want a certain response from me, ask the right question.
Ask the right question.
So if I came still saying what is wrong, I said, hey, what's on your mind? Have I done anything?
Yes.
There we go.
But yes is a complete answer.
Yes, complete
answer. You know, so if, but it's also like, if you say, okay, what do I want to do? Or what did I do? I could say, I don't want to share that with you right now. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's, you have to accept that answer. You still over there stunned about the cheating Pisces, huh? I mean, or I don't want to say cheating. The disloyal Pisces.
Hey, we're not. I would like to say that the Pisces is loyal to the environment and whatever can hang in their environment. If you're unable to hang in the environment, then hey, it is what it is. I didn't make up a game. I'm just playing a game. I did not ask to be born, you know, in February to be a true Pisces, but it is completely true, without a shadow of a doubt.
Wow.
Yeah, and I've known for a while that I am not loyal, but yet I expect loyalty. So I am loyal to the person who is loyal to me. If you are loyal to me, I'm a ride or die. But if I, like I said, if I even sense or have a hint or a smidgen, it's a wrap. I begin to treat you differently. Mm-hmm. And once I begin to treat you differently, I'm already planning my escape.
Okay.
And I know where that comes from, but I'm not going to pretend to be a ride or die, because I'll start to make comments. Like, you ain't a ride or die. Nah, you ain't about that life. I make good comments to let you know where I am. It's a matter of, I'm about that life. Oh, no, you're not. Because if you were, you would have kept it real.
Well, you know, you could be, all right, so I am a ride or die. And because I'm still very much a ride or die to my children's father. You know, our purpose is these children and build this legacy for the Johnsons. Mm-hmm. Now, I got his back, you know, he got mine. Now, we not a couple, you know,
so,
but I'll be in the fast moving car and I'm like, all so right.
You kept the Johnson last name.
Yes.
Why did you do that?
Because my boys are last name Johnson. I mean, Navy is too, but I figured when they should be married, they shouldn't be like, you know, something else. But yeah, I kept it. And plus, I mean, we got married young, and so, like, you know, when I got my master's degree, got Johnson on it, mm-hmm. you know, everything I've done professionally is Johnson. Mm-hmm. And so I ain't changing it. And, you know, he asked me, you know, one minute he was mad, you know, during the divorce, and like, you know, I want you to stop using my last name. I'm like, fool, I made this last name, you know. Said, don't nobody care. Johnson, one of the biggest plantations, you know, but it's just the name.
It's one of the biggest plantations.
That's all my paperwork.
Now, I would say that you are a ride or die, but can you be a ride or die to a fault? And that you're such a ride or die to others, are you a ride or die to yourself?
That's a good question. Can I be a ride or die to a fault? Yes, I can be. I can be. And I'm such a ride or die to him, I'm willing to lose other relationships.
Mm.
But I'm honest about that. Like, when I meet people, I let them know, look, this is my boy. You know, he don't come to my house unexpected or nothing like that. Right. And I don't go to his, you know. However, you know, if, you know, he calling me tonight and he's sick or whatever, we can go, but I'm definitely going, you know.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. I applaud you and commend you on that. I don't know how long it took for you and him to get to that place. yeah, I ain't there.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I don't, you know, so to go back to what you stated earlier, I think women are naturally created to be ride or die, to be loyal. Not just women, I'm going to say Black women, because just history has tested and they've had to prove their loyalty, not only to, you know, Black men or to, you know, the children, but even to their own journey. I have to admit, I am loyal to me. Like, I love me, Sydney. Even no one else loves me. And I'm going to always be loyal to me. I would like to find somebody I can be loyal to, or a ride or die passenger, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the passenger seat in this whole relationship is probably the most powerful seat. Because the passenger is really the one who can see behind, to the left, to the right. They're really, you know, the passenger is really in control.
The passenger has a lot of power, because that individual can, you know, the driver could think, you know, the next turn is going to be a left turn.
Exactly.
The passenger knows how to get you to make that a right turn.
Yeah.
I was talking trash. I know you can't imagine that, but I was talking trash.
Not.
To a neighbor. And he said something. And so my response was, I can get you to do anything I want you to do.
With my powers. Yeah, and you look at him exactly like that.
Exactly.
Didn't you? Yes.
You know, I said, I can get you to
that. Is true, listeners. That is true. She has that ability. She has that ability.
So, you know, and he just smiled. He was like, it's okay. You know, it's going to be all right. But don't get it twisted. But, you know, a good ride or die, that good partner is that person. You know, he or she has to help you, you know, help you go your own journey, but also has to have a way to convince you that that is probably not the best way. Let's do it this way.
I was looking to say anything about witchcraft or voodoo in Aquarius.
Well, I have a book on my shelf. It's called Dark Side Zodiac. So it talks about the dark side of our zodiac signs.
See, with me,
I ripped out the Aquarius section.
Did you?
Yeah.
See, with me, there's no dark side. It's just water. It's just spring water.
Oh no, you got some bad fish out there. You got some barracudas.
I am not none of those dangerous fish. I am a little guppy. That's what I am, a little guppy. A little alpha fish. What's an alpha fish? I don't know, but I'm like Nemo. I'm like Nemo. That's what I am. Just this large guy.
Okay, Nemo.
6'4", 270 Nemo.
Yeah. That's a big ass Nemo.
I know, right? Cannonball.
Yeah, come on now.
Nemo. I feel so much better saying that.
said that.
I got it out.
In public, that you're Nemo.
No doubt, without a shadow of a doubt. I own that. But I feel good saying, yeah, I'm a ride or die, but I expect, you know, I expect loyalty. Shouldn't we expect loyalty?
We should have our own set of expectations. Because loyalty to what? You know, and that's what I'm saying, like, when I said, like, to use my ex-husband to the cause.
Right, the power.
Exactly, whatever the cause is. Because sometimes, like, you say, like, let's just, you know, throw sex in for a second. If you're in a relationship and the other person has sex with somebody else, if that really ain't, you know, the cause, I'm going to stay focused on this cause.
That's right.
You know, I don't, and so, and that's why some people stay in these relationships. And that don't matter, you know, go ahead, do that, because I'm going to need you to do this.
And I'm glad you mentioned that. So I think that goes back to the death statement. If you think sex or infidelity was a cause of a marriage or relationship not working, then to me, you're an idiot. Because it's just a symptom. Mm-hmm. You know, the cause is much deeper, the root of it. And typically it goes back. See, but I think that's discounted because, oh, you know, you had sex, you did this. And so the emotion of that offense seems to outweigh the first initial offense when you showed that you were disloyal to me. Now, I did not do that, or we didn't, you know, people don't do that, I don't think, to get back. But I think the door is, you know, there's a crack open. And once you begin to rationalize some of your misbehaviors because of what was done to you, that's why I think it's so important that when you are disloyal, just apologize.
Yeah.
Apologize, say I was wrong. Even if you don't agree with the person's narrative, at least say, you know what, I apologize for how that made you feel. That wasn't my intent. That's right. Grown for. That's grown.
Yes, exactly.
And once you can have a grown conversation with somebody and they not take it personal, then you know you got your ride or die.
Yeah.
It's going to happen, you know. Mm-hmm. But we don't have these kind of conversations. We rarely talk about what offends me or what offends you. Quick story. I was dating someone and she said to me, oh, no matter what you do, I would never break up with you. And I was like, ooh.
This wasn't Nadia, was it?
No, it wasn't Nadia.
Bring out the fan, get some cold water.
Girl, where you at? Where you at, girl? Where you at? And so as a kid, I'm thinking like, there's no matter what I do, so I can do anything? Because I didn't have any sense of relationship, commitment, or I didn't know. Mm-hmm. But obviously I did some things and she left. I'm like, but you said you wouldn't leave me.
Yeah,
you know?
I can do anything.
I can do anything. So you can't say that. It has to be, okay, you can't kill me. You can't beat me down. Mm-hmm. You know, I think oftentimes we say these blanket statements, oh, I'll do anything for you. Mm-hmm. What does anything mean?
Yeah. You have to know. You have to be able to verbalize that.
But I think it goes back to people just saying things because they're caught up in the emotion, the feeling, the moment of being loved. Oh, mm-mm.
Yeah, that's love drunk.
Yeah, that's love.
That's love drunk.
And high.
Yeah, that's another song.
Yeah, that's another song. That's like those vows you take when you get married, you know, to death do us part. Richer and for poor, and sickness and health. What is it? I don't know the rest.
All those things that, yeah, no. I'm going to need you to keep the same level of income at least to just go up, like, because I can't do poor. No, when I got married, my husband got very emotional. And the person who was marrying us, it was his first wedding. Mm-hmm. And so once my husband, and he was like very emotional, like crying, couldn't get the words out. And I'm like mad because his boys over there laughing. So I'm looking at them, you know, I'm facing that way. So all I see is their shoulders go up and down because they laughing. I turn around, look at my girls, they crying. I'm like, oh, these people. And so the pastor didn't know what to do. So I ended up saying the vows twice.
Oh my God.
And I'm looking at him like, I already said that. Repeating this. I already said that. So he really didn't say, I said them for both of us.
Oh my goodness.
So he ain't commit to me. He ain't commit to none of that. Oh. I said it.
Oh.
So we're going to take a break because now I'm mad. I got to text him. So we'll be right back with Love Wins with Ellison Denise.
Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
We're back with Love Wins with Ellison Benita. So, all right, this ride or die thing, how deep is your love?
Well, Benita was closing out for our last commercial break, speaking about how she was the only person in her wedding who was not crying. however, I was one of everybody in my wedding that was crying. And with that being said, I think the tears, we don't know why we're crying. I don't know. Yeah. But I think the beauty of this conversation is we all, not we all, but clearly you and I are looking for a ride or die. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. I'm slowly.
It's like, I think I am.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It would be a great conversation to have with someone about how far are you willing to go? How deep is your love? Give me an example of the depth of your love. What sacrifices have you made in previous relationships? We need to create an interview sheet.
Yeah.
You know, what sacrifice have you made?
Is this what we give to folks who are brave enough to try to date us?
Indeed. Yeah, okay. What sacrifices have you made? And what evidence do you have to prove that you are a ride or die? Give me examples in which you've been disloyal. Give me examples in which you have not kept your word. How many times do you lie a day? Are you completely honest?
Right.
he crazy.
Yeah.
You know, that is crazy, isn't it?
That's a lot. Yeah. But that's truly what we want to know.
That's what we want to know. From the jump.
How many times you lie a day, though? That's kind of funny.
How many times do you lie a day?
You know what? That's going to start being my opening question. That's going to be my opening question after I ask, are you paying for this bill?
Right.
The second question is going to be.
The note.
All right, dude. I can take a note. But yeah, how many times do you lie there?
That's a legitimate question.
Yeah. And unless you're an attorney, you know, I don't know what reason you have.
Or you saw them.
Liar. Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Or a woman trying to get to an appointment. I'll be there in 5 minutes.
I'm right around the corner.
Right around the corner when you're on the other side of town.
Just left home.
Where you at? I'm 10 minutes away. You said that 15 minutes ago. That is a woman. Real. Not all women, but the most.
I am notorious. I'm doing better with my time. Navy told me one time, if I'm late is normal. If her dad is late, something happened.
Mm.
I was like, as long as you know. You say you need me to pick you up at 1, I'll be there at 1:10.
Yeah. Well,
and it's not that I don't try. I do try, but I'm doing better now.
I think as long as you're honest about it, I think the problem with men is that men, traditionally, we are not honest. And we don't know how to be honest. And so when you meet an honest man, it's like, oh, gosh.
Who is this guy?
It's mysterious.
Yes.
Right? But as a friend of mine told me, she said, men can get more with being honest than less with being dishonest.
Yeah, we appreciate the
she said.
We appreciate the brutal honesty.
Yeah. But a part of the dishonesty is a part of the game. You know, it's part of the cat and mouse. It's part of the chase.
just being a liar.
Yeah, I'm being dishonest. I'm just joking. I have friends of mine who can kick game. I mean, they can just, and I've never been that kind of dude. And it's like, I'm like, can I get your number? What's your name? Yeah. And I keep it simple. I got a guy like, oh, girl. Oh, I mean, it just so poetic. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be poetic, but that's not my thing. I got a buddy who can, he can.
Well, you kind of caveman style. You come in with your club.
You know, pretty much you get over here. Boy, come on, girl. You're top of my shoulder.
Yeah, caveman.
I am not that bad.
That's a good way to get to the die part first.
You know, I was thinking the ropes and chains, you know, tie you up and pull you,
just drag you on. Yeah, that's a good way.
I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding. But I just think that we have to have a conversation about what our limitations, what our expectations are. And if you're able or capable of fulfilling this seat, because to be in a pastor seat, to be a ride or die, you have to be able to sit in the seat comfortably as we, you know, drive this long journey. I mean, we're sitting in the seat. Mm-hmm. And the seat's not made for everybody. It's not. I like trucks for a reason. I don't like little bugs. But I like to be in a truck. I'm in space. So I think everyone deserves to have their space. And we have to stop putting people in these passenger seats and think everybody's supposed to be in a passenger
seat. It's not a one-size-fit-all.
No. Mm-hmm. Don't even let them in the car. Ask them a question. Can you drive? Why am I gonna ride for you if you can't drive? Can you read? Quick story. My daughter brought this guy home, and I said, yo, why you bring him home? And she was like, well, Dad, what's wrong with him? I said, can he read? Does he have a driver's license? So she said, Dad, please don't ask. Hey, boy, come here a second. Do you have a driver's license? Well, nah. I said, you driving my daughter's car that I got from her? You don't have a driver's license?
What?
And so my daughter looked at me, and she was like, Dad, I said, did you know he didn't have a driver's license? She was like, no, you didn't ask him. You let him drive your car? And she looked at me like,
I didn't need to ask that, because we made the assumption that if he said, yes, I'll drive, that he has a license. And I know we shouldn't make that assumption.
But people were upset with me for being rude. It's like I disrespected him by asking the question. But I said to the young man, like, listen, you cannot drive for a car. Matter of fact, I will help you get your license.
That was nice of you.
Well, the next question was, did you finish high school? So I'm asking these questions because I wanted him, it wasn't necessarily about her, but I wanted to show her, like, these are the kind of questions you have to ask a person who you going to bring to visit me. You know, I'm going to ask questions. Mm-hmm. But him and I had a good conversation. And, you know, and even right now, 8 years later, he'll still ask her when she sees him, hey, how's your dad doing?
Yeah.
Because I would, you know, I wasn't trying to out him, but I wanted her to know, you cannot let somebody ride or drive you from Philly down here. He didn't get a license.
Right.
Come on now. It's not wise. So a sister's got to be wise and brother's got to be honest.
So we're going to work on this loyalty thing, Pisces.
No, I'm good. I'm a Pisces. I'm good.
Yeah.
I love me. Bitch.
So I think we just wrapped up our episode.
Yes, we have.
Love Wins with Ellison Benita, the Ride or Die edition. So I want to thank our listeners for listening. Please share. You can hit us up. We set up an email address, lovewinswithellisonbenita@gmail.com. Real easy. We're going to set up our Facebook and our Instagram pages with the same name, and hopefully they're up by the time you hear this podcast. You can also find us individually on Facebook. I'm at Benita Johnson, and Ellis is at Ellis ODU Henderson.
Yes.
So we thank you again. Stay safe out there.
Peace and blessings, and ride and die. Ride and die.
We hope you enjoy Love Wins with Ellis and Benita. Until next time, put love first. Hashtag Love Wins. If you'd like to reach us, reach out at lovewinswithellisandbenita@gmail.com.